Happy Friday, boys.
Hello, West Coast.
So tonight, I think we're just going to talk. We're going to catch up, right? No special
guests. Yeah, no. We are guest free. This is the guest free episode.
You know, they're a burden. They really are.
They really are. They talk and they talk and they talk. Blah, 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 blah. Buy my thing. Buy my whiskey.
And then the catering costs. Oh my God.
The limousine, the Ubers.
I would like to disavow everything that was just said. We really like our guests. We like them a lot. I don't know what these two are talking about.
Well, you know what the problem is? Our catering app got hacked. And they wanted like $5 million ransom to get us back online. So I don't know.
Booze Dancing can get hit by ransomware.
That's right. You know why? Because people want us. People love us.
They do. Well, the Russians really love us.
Absolutely.
That's who really wants a piece of this action, huh?
Uh-huh. All right. Let's roll the intro real quick, and then we'll get on with the show. Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can find us on boozedancing.com. And if you like what you hear or have suggestions for us, want to send us some love letters, hate letters, whatever, ransom letters, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We haven't had a good ransom letter in a while.
Speaking of ransom, did you ever see that movie? That was a good movie.
Ransom, no. Didn't see it.
That was the one with Mel Gibson and Rene Russo.
Oh, what happened to Rene Russo? That's a name from the past.
I don't know. I'm not sure what happened to her.
The best scene in that is when Mel Gibson piles all the money up and he says, "You're not getting any of this. I'm paying this to whoever brings me your head."
There you go.
A highlight in the Mel Gibson filmography. Well, boys, we have not been together for quite a while. We have not sat around and just chatted and talked about what we've been watching and drank together. So why don't we start off things with a little drink?
So, all right. So this is the catch-up episode, right?
It is a catch-up episode, and also mustard and possibly some mayonnaise.
Heinz, future sponsor of what we watch when we drink.
Are we drinking, guys? What are we drinking?
I have the Holy Hand Grenade, which would be the Glenrothes 12.
I just went with the Glenmorangie 12, the Quinta Rubin.
A three of a kind. I got a Glen Scotia, 15-year-old.
Any Glen will do.
Any Glen will do. Glengarry, Glen Ross.
Gentlemen.
Cheers. We have not been together for a while. All right, gentlemen. We have not been together for so long. I think we've been through, there have been two seasons of television since we last talked like this. And I think there's been a couple different late shows that have come and gone since then. What have we been watching? Mike, what about you?
I'm a prisoner in my house. I've got too many people and not enough televisions. So I'm stuck watching anything that's Marvel or DC with the boys and pretty much just Grey's Anatomy and Schitt's Creek reruns with the girls. That's all they want to watch.
What season is Grey's Anatomy on?
They're just signed for 18. They're at 17 right now. They're going to be 18. Okay.
Now, that was a Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes. That was her first big show.
Mike, you mentioned the MCU. My youngest, my 18-year-old, she has took it upon herself to watch everything from beginning to end in the last, like, let's say the last week.
You mean
week,
the movies
but
like or the shows? Or?
But she's movies and shows. Disney Plus, first movie all the way till whatever those current shows are on.
What was the first movie?
Well, they did a couple of Hulk movies before they did anything.
Right.
But they were kind of crap. And they did Fantastic Four and something else with Sony or one of the other chains before Marvel kind of reeled it all back in. Now, Eric Bana is one Hulk and then Edward Norton's another Hulk. And then they moved into the good Hulk, Ruffalo.
But that's all.
Yeah.
All MCU, all same production. So I was surprised she wanted to do that.
Well, they say you should watch WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier because some of the things they're saying in those are like Easter eggs for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse and the new Spider-Man that's coming out.
You know, a lot of people don't know this, but the MCU is actually connected to the Pixar movies. It's all related.
It's John Ratzenberger. John Ratzenberger is the villain in everything.
Not true. And there might be a tie-in with all of the Star Wars movies.
Well, Thor just keeps muttering the word Rosebud when he's asleep, so I think it even goes all the way back.
Yeah, you know what the common thread is? It's Disney.
Yeah, it's green. The common thread is green.
And my question is, how do we get a piece of that action?
Well, a future sponsor.
Disney Plus, future sponsor of What We Watch When We Drink.
How are we doing on drinks, by the way?
So I've got the Glenrothes 12. Mike and I reviewed this a while back. This was like the new edition. Let's see what it says here. Matured only in sherry-seasoned oak casks and bottled at natural color. You know, it's only 40%, but I think it's good. I really like it. So I've had it for a couple of years now, and I'm finally getting to the bottom of the bottle.
I think based on the 2-inch necks, man, you should just be pouring that out. It's got to be bad by now, right?
That's true. That was a long time ago.
Well, we did that. Yeah, but that bottle's got all that air in it now. You should just be pouring the whole thing out, right?
Pour it all out into my glass, and then take it from the glass, and it goes into my belly.
I got the Glamorangie, and I'm a big fan of that. And the first...
Which one was
that? I got the Quinta Rubin, the port cask.
Okay.
12-year-old.
Yes.
And again, I wanted something that was, you know, only at like, you know, under a 5 while we're talking here.
No 5s?
When other people are talking, I can drink something higher than that because I don't have to contribute much. But now, maybe it'd be best if I'm not slurring every other word. The very first extravaganza we went to, this kind of opened my eyes up to the different kind of barreling and finishing for whiskeys. And that's one of the first bottles I ever bought. So every once in a while, I'll go back out and I'll buy one and be like, yep, it's still really good.
So we had a Glen Scotia 10 expression tasting with our whiskey club out here. It was spectacular. And a couple things that were actually only from the distillery that our friend Bozzy Kurosu got
liberated,
sent to us. So I'm working my way to that tonight. But it started with a 15, which is, you know, that's just excellent whiskey in it. It's got that whole Campbelltown kind of vibe to it. There's a little peat to it and just delish. Just delish.
I'm a big fan of the Glen Scotias. When the Society rolls those out, I'll get them any chance they roll them out.
All right, boys, let's get back into some TV. Ange, what have you been inhaling, or what have you actually inhaled?
So I went back and I watched a couple shows that I kind of neglected for a long time. So I went back and watched The Nick. And I watched both seasons of that. And that was probably maybe a month and a half ago. That was really good. Mike, you had seen the first season, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And he's just a really good actor.
He is. I like Clive Owen.
Jumping ahead, a third one is coming. A third season is on.
I believe so, yes.
It is.
And I think, who's taking it over? Is it Barry Jenkins? I think he's taking over the show for... And he's doing the show on Amazon right now. The Underground Railroad.
Oh, that's just coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw the previews for that.
Which,
yeah.
I think he's doing that, and it sounds really good. I just heard a little discussion about that. It sounds interesting, so I may have to check that out. But yeah, I really, really liked The Nick. Yeah, it was interesting, because like when it first came out, I tried to watch it, and I think I was a less patient viewer then. I think I've got some motivation now to kind of be a little more patient and see where these things go, thanks to, you know, what we're doing here. So I kind of give it a little bit more, you know. Like, and if I get tired and I fall asleep, I try to go back and just trying to get into it. But it was very good. It was really well shot. The stories were great. The acting was fantastic. It was a great cast. You know, between Clive Owen and what's her name? Eve Hewson,
Bono's daughter.
Yeah.
Yep.
She was very good. Rylance, I can't think of her first name, but she was also in Perry Mason. Andre Holland. It was a great cast. It was a really, really good show. You know, it had some humor. And it's funny because like when you really look at what they were doing in medicine and all the crazy experimentation, and you look at it now, it's like, oh my God, I can't even imagine now.
It's amazing, you know, anyone lived.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm not sure they did.
Yeah, it's just wacky that was the way it was. Just investigating infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. How did the investigators not catch it and spread it around? Today, right. Investigations are done with like hazmat suits on, and no one's wearing gloves, and no one's wearing masks, and everything's open air in surgery. It was really...
Actually, what was interesting was, with all the stuff that's been going on the last year and a half, there was the whole big part of the story that was devoted to the contact tracing.
Yeah, to Typhoid Mary and trying to figure out who that was. It was fascinating watching that.
That was really cool the way
it was. It was really cool.
You know, I mean, because you didn't have, like, you couldn't get someone's mobile phone records and find out where they were.
No.
You know?
And you had to ask everybody, you know, verbally, what did you eat? Uh-huh. Where were you? Blah, blah, blah. Which is still going on today. But
right.
very more, much more unsophisticated, I guess you'd say, for being 100 plus years ago. I watched the show when it first came out. I remember not having Cinemax. We only had HBO, and it was one of those free Cinemax weekends because I think HBO owned Cinemax, right, back then. It was one of those free weekends. You could watch Cinemax for a whole weekend, and that had just come out, I think. And I watched like four episodes or whatever, and wow, this is great. And then the weekend was over, and I'll never see this again because Cinemax is not on my tier on our cable. And luckily, it came back, and I swallowed it up. It was great. And I started from the beginning too because I couldn't remember it all. It's just well done. And I kept wondering, where did they do the sets? I mean, how did they recreate old New York like that? It was just amazing.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they do, what was that, Silver Cup? Is that the studio in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I imagine they did
I guess that's where they're doing everything. Yeah. Everything scaled buildings. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was good. I really, really liked it. It was really good. And I'm excited there's going to be a third season because I guess Andre Holland comes back. Because I mean, I would think they can bring back just about everybody.
Well, yeah, except for Clive Owen. Yeah.
Right.
What else you got?
I watched that. I did a rewatch of Banshee.
I want to do that.
I went back to the beginning and I rewatched the whole show, and it was interesting to watch it because it was like I was watching it for the first time. You know, because there was a lot of stuff I didn't remember. Like we've all seen it, right? Or most of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw three. Well, that's my problem. I don't remember where I stopped watching.
Yeah.
And it's either season three or four. How many are there? Five seasons?
There's four.
Oh.
There's four seasons, and it's interesting because I remember not really liking the fourth season. But then I went back and I liked it better this time around.
Yeah.
But then the other season that I thought was good, I kind of went back and was like, it got a little tedious.
You watched the entire show the first time around.
I caught up on it I think it was on Prime for a while. So I caught up there and then I watched it. I watched the last season while it was actually going on.
Yeah.
Because it was actually a big recommendation during one of our bottle shares, Mike.
Yeah.
I remember like Big Bill and Greg were going back and forth talking about it. Like, this is the greatest show ever. So then I went back and watched it, and it was good. It was a lot of fun.
You know, there's not enough Amish crime novel shows.
Oh, my God. The Leahy's great. I think it's Ulrich Thompson.
Yeah.
He's the name of the actor.
Yeah.
He's just so good on the show. He's just really good. And Anthony Starr, at first I thought he was kind of like so-so, but this time he's really good.
He's the lead?
Yes. He was the guy in The Boys. He was Homelander in The Boys.
Right. That just makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I was blown away when you said that, because I remember liking him. I thought he was a really good actor, but it never occurred to me that was who that was.
Ah, it's great. And everybody. I mean, it's like, it's the kind of show, really, don't piss anybody off, because everyone can kill you six different ways at a minimum. It's just crazy.
And they will.
Yes.
Is it still on Amazon Prime? Is that where you watch it?
No. Now it's all part of the future sponsor, HBO Max.
Oh, I would have watched in the wrong place then. Okay. Or tried
because
to watch it.
I think HBO Max is now bringing in all the old Cinemax shows because that's how I got to watch The Nick again.
Oh, got it.
And they actually brought The Nick back and Banshee around the same time. So now they're finally, the multiverse is connecting. The HBO Cinemax multiverse is connecting.
It's all one big story.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
Yep.
I thought Banshee was like a nice modern follow-up to watching Deadwood.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's...
With like all the plots and the scheming and the conniving in the Wild West. And then they kind of like, hey, let's do it in a different sort of setting, but make it more modern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just because that ended and you kind of had nothing to watch in terms of like a gritty kind of show like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that popped up. That's a really good show.
It was 100% pure pulp. Over the top, ridiculous. I mean, there's just one fight scene where the guy like rips this woman's throat out. I was like, oh my God. Literally ripped her throat out. Literally. But you know what was interesting, though? Like, you know, there was the two lead characters. There was Ivana Milicevic. I can't remember. I think she was Carrie / Anna.
She's the wife. His wife.
Well, no. They were like boyfriend, girlfriend before he went to prison. Because the story is like, you know, they were thieves, whatever they were. They would steal anything. They're master thieves. Would that what they would call them?
Sure.
So they're master thieves. They get set up. They're working for her father, who's like head of the, I don't know, is he Serbian or Russian mob or Ukrainian, something like that. Something Eastern European. But of course, they can't tell the father that they're seeing each other. And there's like the one big heist. They're going to rob this like diamond exchange or whatever it is in North Jersey. And he gets set up. He goes to jail 15 years. She disappears. But they were never married. But then when he goes to find her, I thought for some reason that they really were just like, because she gets married and has kids, I thought they were hooking up a lot more. But they only did once the whole time. And I was like, I don't remember it this way. So it was kind of neat to watch it again. Just all the different bits and pieces.
It's on my list.
And the English actor that plays her father.
Oh, Ben Cross.
He's really diabolical.
Oh, he's great.
He's just really good. Where he goes from Chariots of Fire to being the Ukrainian bad guy. Which is just like, wow, you've got some range. It's pretty good.
What else you got, Ange? Anything else?
Okay, so I did Banshee. We briefly touched upon another round during the Rum Show with Mads Mikkelsen, the Danish film that I think won Best Foreign Film.
It did.
Wow.
That was interesting. That was actually really good. It was really, really good. It was really strange. It was, I call it a midlife crisis movie. And I think a lot of people have called it a midlife crisis movie. Because he's like a teacher at a high school and he's in a rut. You know, he was very inspired and he was a great teacher, but things just aren't going great. You know, the marriage is not going well. The teaching isn't going well. So him and his other three teachers that he's good friends with, one guy comes up with, there's apparently a theory out there that I think humans are supposed to be like 0.05% blood alcohol content.
Yeah.
That will be our equilibrium. That's where we're at, like peak everything, you know, peak creativity, peak inspiration, the whole bit. So they all kind of undertake this experiment and things go off the rails. They go way, way, way beyond the 0.05. And it was really good. It was really, really good. I recommend giving it a try.
When you say give it a try, you mean watching the movie or keeping our blood alcohol?
The actual experiment.
0.05. Because I'm willing to do either one. I just wasn't sure which direction
I think we should do both. I think that's good. And it was interesting because they're like, you have to start in the beginning of the day, but you have to stop drinking by 8. So you kind of have to have like a drink an hour basically to maintain that 0.05 throughout the day.
I think we're in.
I'm in. I'm totally in.
We'll start with this podcast and go on.
Yes. And then let me see what else I watched. Oh, I think you watched The Investigation, didn't you, Aaron?
I did. Yes.
Have you seen this, Mike?
No, but I know the story. Because the guy's like the Danish Elon Musk, and he's like completely around the bend, and a journalist dies, right?
Yes. Yeah. He builds a submarine, and this journalist goes to interview him. And it wasn't, I don't think, at least from the story, it just sounds like she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Because he tried to lure some people onto the submarine, and it just happened to be her, and whatever he did, for whatever reason, he killed her. But it was just, it was a really interesting show, because, you know, most cop shows, it starts off with, you know, you see the crime, you see what happens, you see the victim, you see the perp.
Yep.
You see all that. You don't see any of that with this. It just opens with the investigation. You know, it starts with the cops, it starts with what do you call it? District attorney, I guess. Is that what you would call it in Denmark?
Yeah.
The guy who's prosecuting the case? Yeah, but it was really interesting because you never see it from that side. You know, like you never see any of the possible victims. It's just interviews and all the tedium that's involved with like trying a criminal case. You know, and the district attorney comes in all the time. He's like, look, we need evidence. You know, we have to prove this beyond a reasonable doubt and we don't have enough to do this. I can hold him, but, you know, we have to build the case if you want to really try this guy and convict him. And it's just all the tedium, finding the body. I mean, the guy, I think he murdered her on the submarine, cut her up into pieces, and then sailed around, was it the North Sea? Is it not the North Sea?
It's some body of water off the coast. Yeah.
Whatever it is. Not the Baltics, whatever that is. Body of water between Denmark, Norway, Sweden, all up there. And he randomly dumped the body all over the place. And then they bring in like Navy divers for Denmark. And I think they were diving for like 3 months?
Yeah, and then they get the idea to bring dogs in from Sweden to
crazy.
To see if they could smell, because they've done training in Sweden where you can actually smell gases that escape from underwater. That was really interesting too. That was fairly factual, right?
I think they said it was incredibly detailed. They went through all the case files and they did this like this was. This was by the book.
And Aaron, didn't you say they went to like the weather guy or the tide guy,
yes,
tidal
they
guy
go to
or
a
something?
Well, because they kind of,
wherever they were looking in the wrong
correct.
Spot, and he was able to tell them, no, move the boats here,
it had
because
to do
that's where it should be by
with
now
the,
or something,
the,
right?
The currents and the warm water
right.
versus the cold
right.
water and where
right.
this kind of stuff, where the gases could have
right.
been. They're
yeah.
getting mad because the dogs can't find the scent. And,
right.
well, we move the boat, maybe the dogs can find the scent.
Yeah.
Move the dog. Move to find
and
the scent.
It was the weird thing about it was like when I first heard about it, you know, you it sounds like it's going to be like, you know, this is really boring, you know, but because
yeah,
they were like you said about so the I think the dogs could smell the off gassing of the bodies. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Like as the body's decaying and all that kind of stuff. And first they thought it was the wind that was driving it, so the dog would smell it here, and they were like, all right, well the wind's going 15 miles an hour coming from the northeast, maybe they're going to dive over there. But then, like you said, they found out that it actually had to do more with the current than anything else.
Right.
So, you know, the dog could smell it like 3 miles away from where it was. And they had to just kind of map it out where it was. And they eventually found the body. They found everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was crazy. And there was a lot of stuff going to the victim's parents, you know, talking with them because they're like, all right, you know, what happened here?
And who and is the mom of that, of the victim, the actress?
I don't know.
She is Anakin Skywalker's mother.
Oh, really?
Yep. She plays Anakin Skywalker's mother in...
Phantom Menace?
Well, sure. Phantom Menace.
Yeah,
one of those.
In one and two. Yeah, one and two.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good. I really liked the guy who played the lead detective, too. If you would have told me he was an actual... Like, he really, really took this role.
He seemed like a cop.
Yeah, he had the... You know, he just had that very...
Demeanor.
Matter of fact.
Screwing
know,
up
just,
his own... His marriage, and because he's so...
Obsessed
sucked
over the
into
case.
It, obsessed, yeah, totally.
Right.
I enjoyed
really
that
good.
One too. Yep.
Now, was this in? Was this all subtitled?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you could watch subtitled it either, time. But yeah, we watched it. I watched it in Danish.
Yeah, so did I.
Yep.
No, I just meant that it wasn't dubbed because you know a lot of people don't like dubbing. They'd rather watch subtitles.
Yeah,
so.
The dubbing is just terrible in most cases.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that's done that's dubbed well.
It fit well in with my whole Icelandic TV motif that I've been on. My Scandinavian motif.
Did you drink some akavit and maybe have a little bit of cured salmon while you're watching the show?
Correct, yes.
Some smoked fish.
For me, that started delicious. Because of Mr. Greg Swartz and Trapped on Amazon
right.
Prime.
He did mention
that's
that,
how
right.
I started on this Norwegian holiday or whatever the hell it is. And I'm not to interrupt you, Ange, but Trapped on it was Amazon Prime was spectacular. In a similar way, you were I didn't know this that was this existed, but you said it, Ange, was that there's a Nordic noir, is that what it's called?
That's a thing. Yeah,
it's a thing. I had no idea. It's a thing. So I got sucked into the Nordic noir with Trapped, and from Greg's recommendation, and it's two seasons.
Okay.
Small town in amongst the frozen volcanoes.
It was in Iceland, right?
It's in Iceland, and
but it wasn't Reykjavik. It was like up on the northern coast, or whatever.
It's a small little town in a bay, and someone a cruise ship is coming in. This little town gets cruise ships, and a piece of a torso of a body pops up in the bay. Cops find it.
I hate when that happens.
I know, and this our burly cop has to investigate. And they think that there's some connection with the cruise ship coming in. And so they make the cruise ship stay in town and can't leave. And then the weather turns and it's a complete blizzard. So everyone is literally trapped in this little town, in this little bay, while this investigation is going on. And it's convoluted. It connects families and Chinese trying to buy up this little town for other, you know, real estate purposes, blah, blah, blah. So it's a bigger story, but it's amazing that it's how they film this stuff. If it's real snow and it's real blizzardy, it's amazing. It looks like they're really filming in like, you know, 8 foot of high snowdrifts and it's just amazingly gorgeous. You know, a lot of white capped scenes. And on that same Icelandic or Scandinavian thing, I watched another one, a Swedish one called Beartown on HBO Max. And it's about another small little town in the middle of nowhere, and an ex-hockey player comes back to his hometown to coach the team there in this town. It's a youth team that's, you know, teenagers, basically, high schoolers. And he comes back to much fanfare, and of course he's got a pass there, and he's with his wife and two kids, a teen daughter, and his daughter gets raped by the star player on the team. So there's an investigation about how that, it's a he said, she said kind of story, this girl and this kid. And of course the hockey team's doing great with this new coach, but the coach is in this tough position because his daughter is raped allegedly by this kid. It's harrowing. It's really harrowing, and there's a lot of snow in that one, a lot of snow in that show too, and a lot of the hockey stuff. For our hockey fans out there, the hockey on ice with these kids, and they're basically teenagers, is amazing. It's just fantastic. It's the best. I mean, it's not like watching the Mighty Ducks. Let's just say that. It's really excellent. It's well done. And then I've read a few articles about how they really try to make the actual on-ice footage real hockey. And it was. It was really good. So, Trapped on, I'm sorry, Beartown on HBO Max. Definitely a keeper.
Worth a shot?
Yep, worth a shot. Okay. Should we talk about alcohol for a minute? Anybody pouring up anything new?
No, I'm keeping... Right. Keeping the faith.
Keeping the faith.
Well, you know, I'm debating. I think I'm going to try. We reviewed an Irish whiskey a little while ago called the Dubliner.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
I was kind of lukewarm on it. I mean, I thought it was okay. It wasn't anything really special. But, sometimes you just need to revisit it.
I moved on to the another Glen Scotia. This one, Bozzy helped, I think, bring in. This is the Campbelltown Malts Festival bottling. So yes. This is a special one. This one you'd have to go to the Campbelltown to get.
Right. What? I'm in.
Yeah, really.
Mike, you in?
And what's it bottled at?
You know, I don't have that in front of me, and it's not on the label on the little sample. I want to say it was with a 5, but I don't remember what.
Yep.
We like 5.
That's really good.
Nice.
This really one's good. With a 4. Just a 4.
Just a 4.
Just a 40%. But, you know, I didn't care. I mean, it was okay. I think, Mike, you had the same kind of impression, right? It wasn't anything really special.
Yeah, I think we both thought the same thing. If they bottled it at a higher ABV, it'd probably be a little bit better.
Maybe.
Well, maybe more interesting anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, when we do reviews, it's generally we're going in cold. It's not like we've tried it before. It's rare that we do something we've actually tried because, you know, why bother? So, you know, and first impressions, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. But I've gone back to some stuff, and I've enjoyed it more. So hopefully that'll happen with this.
This is just...
There was the glug glug.
It's a good... What? It's a good
glug. There was a glug glug.
All right, let's hop back into it.
Okay.
What you got, Ange? What you been watching? What did you watch?
Okay, I just finished My Brilliant Friend on HBO.
All 4 seasons? Or 3 seasons?
2. There's only 2 so far.
No, is that right?
There's only 2. There's going to be, I think, a third... I think it was a 4-part book.
Yeah.
What's the name of the writer? Something Ferrara? Ferrante?
Yeah, that's not her real name. That's her nom de plume. She's anonymous.
Oh, okay. All right. But it was an interesting show. I know you recommended it a couple years ago when it came out because you watched it with the girls.
I tried to watch it with my daughter who loves Italian, but she never really got into it. But I watched it. I loved it. I thought it was just gritty and
oh my God, was it gritty?
Deep and... is it Naples, right?
Yes, it's in Naples.
It's in Naples, and it's a slice of that part of the world of that era that I'm not that familiar with. You know, it feels, it should be very romantic, right? It should be very, but it wasn't.
You would think. I thought, no, not at all. It was just, oh my God, everybody's horrible.
It's very, I assume, realistic in a lot of ways, right? I think this woman's.
Everybody's horrible.
The author.
People are the worst.
They are the worst. Why do you have a podcast? I can't figure that out.
I don't know.
I was just enamored by, on so many levels, you've got this young I don't know how many episodes of it when the two characters.
It was
characters...
10 and 10. It was 20 episodes. Oh, with the young girls?
Oh, with the young girls.
I think it was only two. I think it was just two or three.
And that was great to set this whole story up about their lives and how they are, you know, become these best friends. And then as they grow through adolescence and young womanhood and moving, trying to get out of this shitty world that they're living in.
Oh my God, get the hell out of there.
And Jesus. They, for whatever reason, they can't, right? They can and they can't. There's always one foot still back in hometown.
Yeah. Well, you know, funny, not funny. I was watching it. And you know the boys like to joke, like, "Oh, abuse, abuse." They like to yell, "Dad, get away!" They just like to bust my chops. I'm like, "Look, kids, you don't know abuse. You need to watch like the first two episodes of this show." the girl wanted to go to middle school because it was like, you know, like my parents. My mom, I think, only went to like third grade. My dad finished eighth grade, so it was apparently a big deal. You had to take a test to move up because it was so impoverished. I mean, this was just like a really, really poor part of Southern Italy. Was not, you know, not wealthy at all. You know, it was like being in, I don't know, the sticks here, like being in the Ozarks or wherever, you know. And it was post-war. It was like, it was early '50s, mid-'50s.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was like, you know, it's interesting to watch a show evolve over the years. Like, first there's like maybe one or two cars. You know, by the time you get to the end of the second season, the cars are everywhere.
Yep.
So, you know, things are just starting to grow. But so the one girl, she just wanted, and she was really smart. The one girl basically taught herself how to read. Right? Was it the Lilu?
The
dark-haired girl. The one who looked more Sicilian than, you know, than the other girl who looked
the model
more Northern Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but she basically taught herself how to read it. She was really smart. You know, she showed up all the kids. She was like, I think, 6 or 7. She knew her math. She knew her reading. She knew her grammar, everything. And she just wanted to go to the next level. And her parents were like, absolutely not. This is not happening. And the dad's like, you're not better than me. Takes the kid, literally throws the kid out the window. Now, thankfully, it was the first floor window. Because otherwise...
It was only the first floor.
But I was like, you know, the parents threw the girl out the window. Okay, so you want to talk abuse? Watch this show. This is abuse.
Yeah.
And then the other girl had to really kick and scream to advance in her career. Because they were both really smart. Yeah.
It's interesting that show did not... It got a lot of praise, or has gotten a lot of praise... But you don't hear much about it. When it first came out, you did. But it sort of got buried by HBO. Maybe not by HBO. Maybe it just wasn't popular. I was sucked into it immediately. It's one of those must-see shows for me, watching it every week, both seasons. And I can't wait for another one. It is just so well-written in Italian, and I'm watching it in Italian. It's hard to watch at times. You really want these two girls to succeed in life and get away from the darkness that they're living in. You don't know if they're ever going to get there.
Yep.
You just don't know.
Mike, what's your line to your Neapolitan better half? How am I your happily ever after?
Yeah.
I don't know how these men survived. I really don't, because they were just awful. One guy was worse than the next.
But
absolutely horrible.
But you can argue that was the norm.
Oh, right? Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right. That's the norm. And how did women survive is really the question.
So I should have Wendy watch this to appreciate
exactly.
Me more.
Exactly. This is right. This should be shown on Father's Day to all the women out there. That's right. Look at how lucky you are.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Yes.
It could always be worse.
I mean, it's bad, but it could be worse.
Yeah, it was beautifully shot. I mean, it was beautiful. The scenes in Ischia when the girl goes away for the summer, the two times. Oh my God, it's so pretty. I mean, it's just really, really beautiful to watch.
I think I said to you that it had that vibe of a movie made of that era.
Yeah.
Right. It so did. If you didn't know that it was made in 2020 or 2018 or 2019. Oh man, this is an amazing Italian movie from 1962.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing, and it's shot that way in a lot of ways with production.
It was almost at certain times it was almost like a horror movie though, because you just always had that feeling that things are going to turn.
Yeah,
you know, you just every minute it's like, oh, this guy's great, this guy's wonderful, oh, he's such a nice man, he's so charming, and then the next thing you know, he's like, you know, this guy's like, well, the one father of the kid she liked, you like that guy Nino. Yeah. the really tall, thin kid who was, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, intellectual and all this stuff. And the father was a writer. And, you know, the father's, like, molesting this girl. It's like, what the hell? My God. This was just absolutely...
It feels like a 1950s, 60s Italian pulp novel turned into a beautiful movie. And a dark movie. But it's really well done. It's really well done.
It was really good.
Did you watch Made for Love?
Made for Love.
It was on HBO Max with...
is that the one with Kristen Bell?
Yes.
No, I didn't. I tried to watch the first episode, and I was tired. It was, again, I lacked my patience on that one.
I recommend going back to it.
Okay.
One, Kristen Bell.
Wow, she's a hometown girl, right?
Is she?
She's the mother.
She went to high school with our kids.
What?
She went to the drama program.
Get out of town. How is she not on the podcast?
I don't know. We got to get her. I got to talk to her.
I don't know if she still lives here.
No, but mom and dad may. Maybe your mom and dad do.
Really? I did not know this. It's a really interesting take on Google and Apple and putting things in your body to kind of watch you and the high techness of it. And she's trying to escape this craziness of her husband, who's like the, you know, Elon Musk of his little corporation that has all these magical things that they do. You know, she's like Aya Cash.
Okay.
She is hypnotic on screen.
Yeah.
You know, she and she's a great, I think, like Aya Cash, she's a great comedic actress.
Uh-huh.
And then can get very, very serious. She was in Palm Springs, right?
Yeah, she was great. I thought she was really good in Palm Springs. Well, you know what it is. That's the Cherry Hillies drama training.
It's yeah, talked about in many, many books on
it
drama.
Is. It is. Well, you know, girl, she won a Tony, didn't she?
She was nominated. She won a Grammy.
Oh, she won a Grammy?
She sings?
She won a Grammy. She sings?
What?
Yeah, because she did.
She was in a musical.
She was in Once, right?
In the musical Once. She was in Once.
We talked about that on the Irish episode, on the St. Paddy's Day yes. episode.
She was great. I highly recommend it. It was
all right.
It was fun.
I'll go back to it.
Yeah, it was fun. What else you got?
I'll go back to it. What else we got here? Let's see, My Brilliant Friend. Who's watching Mayor of Easttown?
Well, let's come back to that because that's when we're watching. We'll just do ones we watched. We'll come back to that.
Did you see the big hubbub with that?
The SNL skit? That was hysterical.
Where they went over the top of the accent.
Oh, it was great.
Complaining about, oh, it's
the
dirter
murder. Murder my dirter. Oh, it was great.
Not that we're going to talk too much about it, but in this general area, the big thing, the convenience stores were all Wawa's.
Right.
Wawa.
And they had a big article where they're interviewing her about coming here and filming on location and everything. And they said, well, what did you think? And she said, well, the one guy knew about Wawa and got this monstrous sandwich. I don't know what it was. And she's like, sandwich. I mean, like a grinder. I mean, it's a hoagie. He got a hoagie.
It's a hoagie.
A hoagie.
It's a hoagie.
But it's so funny. She's trying to fit in.
Did you guys get through or did you watch Men in Kilts the whole way?
No, I gave up.
You gave up?
I gave up. You know what? I just forgot about it. And it's like an advertisement for Outlander the whole time.
Yeah, it was.
Too short. You know, they go into this whole thing. They go to this fabulous place and they rush through it. They didn't spend enough time with any of the stuff. So I was like, this isn't.
My wife and I are watching. It's hard not to watch things on Scotland for us. It's just really hard not to watch.
I understand.
And there's a fair amount of whiskey in it. And yes, you're right. It's all very staged and it's a bit more than a bit hokey. And I think I read that there's a second season coming. And
sure,
I've seen a couple of reviews that kind of are similar to what we've talked about. It lacks the spontaneity. It's devised in a strange way. It needs one location definitely for an episode instead of this, you know, bouncing around the entire country and
go a little deeper.
It wants to go deeper and then doesn't. It's like they're afraid to go all the way. And I think they think people are going to lose interest. It's the Sam Heughan guy. Him and the other actor.
McTavish.
Yeah. They're really great together. They definitely have a great camaraderie on screen. And it feels like a lot of it's not actually scripted. But then there are times it feels like it's that they don't want to let them go. Just let them go.
Yeah. Maybe then they get nothing done.
I suppose there'd be a lot of editing.
And that's okay, yeah, though. But what's wrong with
no,
that?
No, I agree. Mean,
yeah, let them loose.
They should let them loose.
Just see where the show goes.
And
they're already in Scotland. I mean, you know.
Yeah, my better half has forbid me to watch it.
Why?
Why?
Until the next season of Outlander's out. Because she's a big fan of binge watching, where she wants to watch everything all at once.
Yeah.
We'll have both of them. We can watch them all at once and then watch the other one all at once. I'll get my whole fix in all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's funny. Speaking of binge watching.
It was very strange how they connected or made it somewhat of a an advertisement for the Outlander. It was.
It's like we already subscribe. Obviously, we already subscribed to the channel.
We we know who you are.
If you're watching Men in Kilts, you're probably watching Outlander. So just let Men in Kilts be Men in Kilts.
Does the Outlander need more viewers?
No, let it be its own thing. Yeah, I didn't understand. It was weird. I wanted to like it. I really did. I was really excited for it. But it just disappointed me, and it's like, yeah, there's other things to watch. So,
what else is on your list?
What else you got? Anything else? I got a few.
Okay, so we're going to hold off on Mare of Easttown, right?
Yeah, we'll come back.
Yeah.
What I started watching this week, because there's been a lot of buzz about it, and we got together with our buddy Sam and Mark and Whiskey Cast, Mark Gillespie, the other night, and he was really talking up For All Mankind on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
So I watched the first three episodes. It is really, really good. And I'm not one for the space stuff, but I think I like this because it's science and it's fiction, but it's not science fiction. You know? So because it's more reality based. It's really
Like science fact.
Right.
Yeah.
It's alternative science fact. You know, this is all things that happened or could have happened. And I think they used a lot of real characters. You know, they talk about a lot of real people. Like there's a whole thing, and it's interesting the way they're doing it, because it's an alternative reality.
What's what channel is that on? Or what
this is on service? Apple Plus.
Oh right, so this is in the second season though, right?
Yeah, but I'm watching the first. I didn't watch the second.
Yeah, I didn't know about season. It until I saw the ads for the first season.
It's really well done. It's for the really second cool. season. So it's like an alternative reality. It's right around the space program, and you know, there's the whole space race between the Russians and the U.S. to whoever gets to the moon first. And the Russians get there first, and that's how the show kicks off. And everyone's pissed off. You know, Nixon's president, he's pissed off. He's like, how did they beat us? How did they beat us? And now it's the whole, it's like an arms race to get to, you know, build a space station on the moon and all this crazy stuff. It's really good. So far, I'm into it. And apparently it gets better as it goes. So I'm excited to keep going.
So that's a watching show. That's a, you're still in the middle of that one.
I'm actively watching it.
Anything else in the past that you've gotten through already?
No, I think that's about it. From what I remember,
okay.
I think that's plenty. I mean, you figure Banshee was like 40 episodes.
I got a couple.
Nick was 20 episodes.
I got a couple that I watched. Maybe I'll start with a couple fun, odd ones. Couple of animated shows, both on Netflix.
Okay.
One was called The Great Pretender. Interesting animated show that is like Ocean's 11. But okay. There's three seasons? Maybe it's two seasons, but there's seasons within the season. Like there's arcs within the seasons. It's about a group of...
con men.
And there's a guy, I can't remember his name. He's the leader, and he's got two women that... are in the group, and they bring in a fourth person who is this Japanese kid who is like a small timer in Japan. And the first episode is all in Los Angeles. And I mean, it's Los Angeles to a T. The colors and the way it's animated is just spectacular. The opening credits, the opening scene is like right out of the Stewardess Show.
Catch Me If You Can. Oh, the
Like Catch Me, like Catch Me If You Can. It could be one of those kinds of shows. The way it's presented, very good, and it's really fun. Another little show, and it's only like six episodes. It's on Netflix, and it's called City of Ghosts, and it's all done in Los Angeles. And each episode, it's these five little kids, and they're like. You know, not middle schoolers or younger, and they search for ghosts. Each episode looks at a very unique part of Los Angeles, whether it's an Asian restaurant in East LA, and who's it's haunted by some ghost. And these kids are the ghost hunters. And all the ghosts are fine. They're not like scary ghosts. They're just, these ghosts have a reason why they're there, and they talk to you, and the ghosts, and they interview the ghosts. And why is the ghost here? Oh, because my grandfather was, he used to own this same building, and he had a restaurant here at the same time in the 1950s, and he was put in a Japanese internment camp or something. It is an amazing look at Los Angeles with his little kids. So it's great for little kids to watch and learn about, you know, diversity and cultural appropriation and the buzzword topics of the day. And it's great for adults, too. It's very, very good. So, City of Ghosts on Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, a couple other ones that I got through was season 3 of Schnitzel on Netflix. It is one of the best written shows about family ever. It's just that good. And they got the band back together after like 3 years. The show was pretty much done, but it got this resurgence on Netflix, and they got them to come back for season 3. And I think there's talk of season 4 coming too. Now that it's been a hot commodity, it's probably going to get a fourth season at some point.
Huh, interesting. I haven't checked this one out.
And two other ones I want to touch on real quick.
My God, don't you have a job? Don't you work?
Hey, we haven't talked for a long time, man. This has been forever.
That's true. Right? It's been a while.
We might have mentioned this one with CB Strike on HBO. It's with Tom Burke and Holiday Granger, and it's about a
detective, right?
Detective
he was ex-military in Afghanistan.
Ex-military gets his leg shot off, and he came from a rock star family. His mom was a model. His dad was and she overdosed. And his dad is a guitar rock god.
He's
a rock star,
right? Yes.
And he goes to Oxford or somewhere, and then he goes into the military, goes to Afghanistan, gets injured, comes back, and he's all screwed up, and he doesn't want any part of his, you know, family's money, and he becomes a private eye. And of course, he's the private eye who has bills and doesn't have any money and can't get a job
other private eye.
Totally. And Holiday Granger comes in as a temp one day to work for him, and she's in a strange relationship with her fiance, and this is really what she wants to do. She wants to be a private eye. And I think there's 2 seasons. It's based on a set of novels from
J.K. Rowling, right?
J.K. Rowling. And she,
but again, also another pseudonym.
Yes.
Not pseudonym. Right. Is it pseudonym or pen name? What do you want to call it?
Pseudonym.
Yeah, pseudonym, nom de plume. If I knew that, I didn't know that going in, I probably would have not looked at this thing. I did not know that, and I got hooked early. Tom Burke and Holly Granger have a nice relationship. They have a nice chemistry.
Yeah, they're good together.
Yeah, and it's the same, you know, some horrid crime and screwed up detectives trying to figure out what happened, and very, very British. Standard British.
Yeah, I watched the first case with the three, with the model.
Yeah.
So I watched the first 3 episodes, and it was pretty good.
But, yeah,
you know, other things came up, and you know, if I'm going to watch, if I have a choice between that and My Brilliant Friend, I'll watch My Brilliant Friend.
Sure,
that's a little bit more, it's a little meatier.
And one that I just finished on Netflix because I needed more foreign language in my life. This one is in Spain, and it's called the Inocente, which is the innocent.
Inocente. How would we say in Spanish?
And it's about a guy who. When he's in his 20s.
We got a guy. Is there a dame?
There's no dame. Well, there is. Games. Games. Okay. He accidentally gets in a fight at a party and pushes a guy who falls backward, hits his head, and dies. And so it's a goes to prison for manslaughter. And the father of this kid that dies is just, and then the mother, they're overwrought that this guy is, you know, they lost their son, and this guy goes to jail, and he gets out at some point, and he becomes an attorney, and he seems like a good person, and he goes to work for this brother, and they have a law firm, and his brother dies, just has a heart attack or something, and so he has to take over the firm. And just by chance, there's another murder. The cops think he's the one that did it. And it's like all the other shows we've seen before, where there's this huge amount of intrigue going on around, lots of little stories. They're all interconnected. And there's a cop, a girl, who she's got some past, and she's going to try to figure this all out. And the higher-ups won't let her figure out because there's more going on that you're not allowed to know. And it's really well done. And I think it's set in Madrid, I think. Or okay. Let's say it's Madrid. Really good. And it's trending on Netflix because it's pretty, pretty popular. So, nice. Yeah. So I just got through that one. And those are my my currents, my ones I went through. So,
are you sure?
There's one other one, but it's too weird. It's in Turkish.
It's in Turkish.
It was actually a Netflix one, too. I'll throw it out. Ethos on Netflix. Turkish, amazing show. Like 8 or 10 characters, separate stories, all interconnected. Uh-huh. Highly recommend it.
Huh.
Ethos. E-T-H-O-S.
Ethos.
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 Yeah.
Ethos.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Shall we drink some more? I can always drink
some
more.
Sure. I went back. I kicked the Glenrothes.
Nice.
Kicked. It's gone.
Well done.
It's finito. Hasta la vista, baby.
What are you moving on to, Aaron?
I am moving on to another Glen Scotia. Masters Distiller Edition. 57.3.
Whoa.
Another nice. One that was, I think, helped, got to this country by our friend Bozzy.
Now, are these independent bottlings, or are these actually from the, are these distillery bottlings?
These were all distillery bottlings.
Okay.
Yeah. And well, this was, what's his, Ian McAllister? Is he, I think he's the master distiller at Glen Scotia. He actually got this bottle for us. This is from Ian.
Well, wait, Aaron, while you were doing the Glen Scotia tasting, did you try the Victoriana? Was that part of the tasting?
It was. And I think I don't have that sample anymore. It was on there.
Because I just saw that in one of the stores by us, and I almost bought it because it's very pretty.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure what it was as you know, a standard bottling, or if that was a special one-off thing or something. But I'd like to try it.
I don't know if it's a one-off. I don't think it is. I think it's an annual.
Yeah.
I don't recall. I don't remember seeing the bottle, actually. Was the bottle that interesting? I don't remember that.
The label is kind of neat compared to the regular Glen Scotia. It's not that they're run-of-the-mill, but
right. It
was a whiskey bottle.
Yeah.
Where the Victoriana looked like it was a little more behind it.
Ah, very cool.
I like my pretty packaging. So,
don't we all?
Speaking
of pretty packaging.
Yes.
We've got the...
Talking about me?
No, well, hey.
I'm the prettiest packaging you can get.
Hello, Sailor.
Hello, hello.
Did you see on Instagram I posted that bottle I got from it's the what's it called?
The Celebrity Rum.
Selvaray?
Yeah. My God, that's just a really pretty box. It makes me want to get on a plane and go to like Costa Rica.
You know,
it's like a bright yellow and it's got the toucan, it's got the trees.
I like that.
The same store that Victoriana was in, I saw the Selvaray.
Which store was this?
And I was like, oh, that's pretty nice. Total Wine.
Didn't you say that rum is like $150?
Yeah, $150. Crazy. Jeez. But apparently the guy that blended it is like this legendary rum guy who's in Panama. I can't remember his name right now. It'll all come out in the review. But anyway, beautiful bottle. I'm gonna wait. First we have to pour out the first 2 inches of the bottle. Right? We gotta throw that out because that's no good. That's all bad.
Just throw that in my glass. I'll take care of it.
That's gotta go. And then we could drink.
The good stuff's at the bottom of them.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, Mike? By the way, when we review it, bring a saber because it looks like a champagne bottle. So we need to.
We can open it.
We need to do the saber thing. We need to like.
I have a series of sabers. I'll bring them over. You can decide which
excellent.
One you want.
Excellent. Because you much like the Turks, you're good with a knife.
No, they're the Nabilodons.
It's even better than a knife.
Did you guys see talk about packaging that Bruichladdich was going to is trying to move away from the tins?
No.
Yeah, so there it was maybe a month ago that they announced they're going to try to go away from. You can actually opt out of the tin if you're ordering from them online. You don't have to get the tin. So because it's another
environmental
weight,
It's environmental.
Well, and it's extra weight.
It's extra weight for shipping, you know, and they have to make them, and you know, it's it makes sense. I mean, the overpackaging is crazy with a lot of this stuff, and you know, the boxes are insane, and I think there's a bit of a push in the industry to have less of a footprint. And
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I get it too, and some uniformity. I understand the some of that stuff is probably good for shipping, and it gets heavier, but protects the bottle.
Right.
But still, some of it gets insane. It just.
Yeah, but you're probably also wrapping the tin in something, because somebody doesn't want the tin dented.
That's right.
Right.
So you're like, well, I got this tin to protect the bottle, but then I got to protect the tin, so I've really not reduced any of the packaging. And if I just put the bottle in those little air pillows, I'm just as good.
I remember ordering a bottle of from the Aaron Distillery, Machri Moor, which is their peated whiskey, and it like they do it every they used to do it like once every couple of years, I think. Cask strength came in a tin, and I had it shipped to New York. To our friend Sarah. And I remember, I think she shipped it to me or she gave it to me when I was in New York one time. And I was so disappointed because they packaged it, whoever shipped it, I don't remember what company I bought it from. And the tin was totally dinged. Yeah. It was totally dinged. And I was so disappointed. So it's one more thing they got to deal with.
Yeah. I had the same experience with the three ships. The South African distillery.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get it from?
Where I got something from a master of malt, and it came with a bunch of other things, and everything came and nothing was leaking, but the tin was dented. And you're like, oh, it was a pretty tin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dented.
Yeah, you know, you're paying for it, right? You want it to, you know, there's pluses and minuses to it, but we like the shiny, pretty thing, right? The packaging, but there's a downside to it, and shipping is one of them, so.
There are many downsides to you there, pretty shiny thing.
Thank you. So I read an article on Vulture, and I thought we might discuss this a bit. It's about if you're on the Netflix, you see this thing on the on your home screen about the what's trending and what your top tens are, and when you get on there, you start kind of scrolling through to find something to watch, and inevitably, like myself, who you know, at some point you do kind of catch up with all what you're watching and you want to find something new. You are scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and there's this fatigue, decision fatigue. We all have that when we walk into a whiskey store or we walk into...
Too many choices.
You guys and your beer, when you walk into a beer liquor store, it must be insane having all those choices. So Netflix is trying to figure out how to make that burden less so. And this article in Vulture talks about this new, what Netflix is trying to do with this new interface that they've got called Play Something. So before we talk about Play Something, let's talk a little bit about that fatigue. Do you guys find yourself like,
oh my God, I'm bouncing between apps trying to find something to watch. It's just crazy. And thank God for, like, you know, either podcasts or things like Vulture or AV Club. I just go by their recommendations. If I hear that if there's good buzz on the show, then I start watching it.
And on Netflix now, they have, like, the passive, because you watched this show,
right.
Here's eight other shows you might want to watch. And I'll just be like, okay, I'll just pick one of those rather than scroll through everything else. And with my barely opposable thumbs, working the remote's dangerous anyway. Oh, I turned the TV off. What did I just
do? You just started making the popcorn. You just activated the microwave.
Exactly. I ruined everything. You know, it's funny how they passively have the algorithm to say, because you watched this, you watched that. And I guess now it's more of an active, because you watched this, we're going to make you watch this other show so you don't even have a choice. Because you're so fatigued from choices, you know, you got lost. You're down the rabbit hole again.
Isn't it funny how when we were kids, you had like, you know, the three networks.
Seven
four stations.
Right, yeah, seven channels. And it's hard to find something to watch, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then when HBO comes along, and all of a sudden the explosion of cable, and then your basic cable was another 30, 40, 50 channels, and you can't find anything to watch.
Yeah.
And now we're in this world of streaming where you've got this endless amount of channels with cable or whatever, and then you've got all these streaming services, and you can't find anything to watch. How is that possible? And yeah. it really is fatiguing. It can be. Yeah.
I remember when we first got married, we moved to the suburbs and all that, and there was a little video store in the shopping center nearby. We would go in there to try to find what to watch. I swear, we'd walk around the store for an hour before we picked, because it would be, you rent four, you have them for 5 days. You know, we rent four movies and try to watch them. It would take us forever. And it's the same thing now. Now I don't even have the exercise of walking around the video store. I'm just sitting on my couch trying to figure out what the hell to watch.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I scroll through HBO Max. I scroll through Prime. This, that, the other thing. So if there's no buzz, I don't know what I'm going to pick up next.
Netflix is interesting because we all think of Netflix now as a streaming service, but that's not how they started, right?
No,
it was the DVD, right, that you rented. Yeah. Right,
that's how we started with the delivery service.
Us too. Their algorithm creation goes back to then. They were already looking at what are people renting.
Data.
What are people?
It's all data.
It's all data. Yep. And so the data crunching has gotten better, but the user experience maybe hasn't. And they get feedback, right? They know that people are kind of overwhelmed by this, and it's too much for most people to kind of deal with. And you probably lose eyeballs at some point. There's some quantity of people who cannot decide, and they just walk away. That's not what they're about.
Well, and you have a window of time to watch something.
That's right.
And if you used half of your window of time typing in letters and scrolling through and trying to come up and be like, all right, well, now I can't watch anything. My time's up. I just wasted it.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a shower, going to bed. I'll try again tomorrow when I'm more awake and more agile. You know.
I think that all of the streaming services have to deal with this. And whether it's the interface or getting the information to people, and a lot of people are going to be like you and I, where you hear the buzz, you see the buzz in your newspaper or in your social media feed or somewhere, and you hear about some show that's on.
Top 50 shows you should be watching or
one
whatever.
Of those things, right? Or it may be as simple as watching the CBS Morning Show on Sunday mornings and seeing an interview with Kate Winslet. And then, she's got a new show on HBO.
Right.
It can. That's how people find out. But there's no more TV Guide anymore, right? So, well, there is, but that's not how people are getting their recommendations.
Right. It's just not the same, right?
But for a lot of people that don't do that, they are okay. I'll just turn on Netflix and see what's on.
Well,
it's hard.
For me, it's like when I first started really, really digging into whiskey and beer and all that kind of stuff. I think you have to find somebody that has similar taste, as yourself, and then just kind of figure out, all right, well, they like this, I like this, they're recommending this, all right, I'll give it a try. If it's someone that's going to just keep recommending stuff that you just don't like, like Mike before didn't like peated whiskey. Now it's, hey, there's a brand new release from, from Kalila. I know. We dragged you kicking and screaming through the peat bog.
And now he's watching anime, too.
See,
Danish murder stories.
He essentially has Stockholm Syndrome with whiskey.
That's why I said Danish.
With everything, really.
I want to go to Stockholm. We waterboarded him with Lagavulin, and now he actually likes it.
What's interesting I found in this article on Vulture was about the Netflix top 10 lists. We see that on the homepage, right?
Now, is that a world rankings, or is it just like your native country, or
so you would think it's something like that, right? You would think it's something as global as what's everybody watching. Well, it's not. Interesting. I'm going to quote this from this article. Those categories are actually personalized content that also happens to be popular. So they're actually taking what you watch.
Okay.
The algorithm takes what you watch and curates those lists based on what you watch. And other
even
people,
the top 10, though?
Yes.
So wait. So if I look at the top 10 on my screen and you look at the top 10 on your screen, they could be completely different?
Correct.
So we may not
based
all
on,
have...
Based on our taste preferences,
interesting.
Sure.
Interesting. Yeah. So Queen's Gambit could be like number one for me, but it could be like number 7 for Mike.
That's right.
I did not know that.
That's right. So,
or it might not be on my list because I'm not interested. My algorithm doesn't show I want to watch that ever.
Right. Some of the cat.
And I'll have something else on
there. You're more of a British baking show kind of guy.
He really is.
Well, based on what my little guy watches, yes. I'll be basically cooking shows.
Panna cotta and, for everyone.
So back to what you said, Ange, about how you kind of gravitate towards people who have similar tastes.
Right.
That's what this is. Those lists are based on people who have similar tastes as you. So then you're going to see other similar shows to Queen's Gambit popping up in that top 10 list. I'm on this Scandinavian crime drama bent, and I see a lot of this stuff showing up in my lists.
Yeah.
I didn't. Why is Borderland or Hinterland or Frozenland or Snowland on my? Why are they all showing up on my? It's because I'm
the Lutefisk.
The Lutefisk land.
and for whatever reason, just Frozen. It's a good show.
Just Frozen.
Netflix admits its rankings aren't based on the average audience size of a title, the way Nielsen measures linear TV consumption.
Sure, sure.
Instead, the streamer uses what it calls a choose-to-watch standard, which tallies how many people sample at least 2 minutes of a given title. Because the shows that have been on forever, like Mike and
Grey's Anatomy. It's
right
through. Yeah.
So that's been on for 20 years or close, and it's an hour-long show. That skews the number towards that, right? So that's not how Netflix looks at things, which I think is really interesting. It's a whole way different way of looking at the way people view television.
Well, and it actually is useful. It's like the New York Times bestseller list, but curtailing that to something I'd actually read as opposed to whatever, political party puts out a book and everyone in the party buys it and they,
So it's almost like a concierge service.
Yeah.
It is. And so the question is that, Netflix will say one thing, but you have to wonder is, yes, it is curated based on you and people similar to your viewing habits. Are they still pushing certain content that they want to push to you?
Yeah.
Or is it really kind of this, wow, everyone's watching these really low-rated TV shows?
Yeah.
Or is it the stuff that they really want to push towards you, like Bridgerton, things that they've made themselves?
Yeah, shows that they own and they get all the rights
to. But then what does it matter if you're just paying a subscription? You know what I mean? Like, what does it matter to them what you watch?
Well, I think it would matter because they want to know whether they should be spending
what they should
money.
Invest in. Or
that's right. Should we be investing in Israeli TV shows or should we be investing in outsourcing shows here in the States to Shonda Rhimes?
Right. Yeah.
And should that show come back for a second season or a third season or a fourth season? Or should we just say, thank you, let's move on now?
Right. It's an interesting business and it's tough because, but the thing that sucks, Netflix probably has one of the better interfaces, I think, or at least one of the more attractive interfaces. Amazon's an absolute disaster.
It's horrible. And
Hulu was a disaster.
Now, but look at Amazon, though. I think when I look at Amazon Prime Video, whatever it's called, Prime Video? The fact that I can't remember the name is a factor, I think.
That speaks volumes.
It does.
Yeah.
It is as annoying as Amazon's website, the shopping site, which is so much crap that's pushed towards you, such as all the sponsored, whether it's sponsored content or sponsored product.
Which I don't even know what that means.
It's stuff that they want to sell more than you the things that you want to actually buy. And I find that Amazon Prime is very similar. I'm still not crazy about HBO Max's, even though they're going to be a sponsor.
No, their interface isn't very good either. But again, with that, at least we know what they have because HBO has done such a good job of marketing their own programming.
I have not been on Disney Plus much, so I don't know how that looks.
It's okay if you know what you're looking for. But if you're trying to find something, I think it's all very difficult.
We're Apple folks here in this household, and so we've got a couple Apple TVs, and the Apple remote is like the worst designed thing in the world, and it gets lost, and it's horrible, and apparently they have a new one coming out that actually is like a regular remote. But it's work when you get on these streaming services. It's not simple. Netflix is trying to address that to some extent and allowing the user to find things quicker and not be so exhausted by the process. So that's leading all this up to something that they've got now, which is a choice that you can make it on the website or on the
They've had it for
the
last couple of months. I haven't tried it.
It's called Play Something, I believe.
To be honest, I've kind of like, unless a show has a lot of big buzz on that on Netflix, I haven't really been on Netflix that much lately. I found more stuff on, you know, HBO Max just because I'm catching up on all the shows I didn't watch before. You know, so like I'm catching up on The Nick and I'm catching up on this The Investigation and all that kind of stuff. I think they curate their material a little better because they're actually content producers. They were content producers before they went into the streaming, you know, so they already had a catalog and a catalog that I'm kind of behind on. So it's a good opportunity to catch up.
Yeah, I think the two that I'm mostly on is Netflix and HBO. So I see the good and the bad, and it's work to find things. I'm
poor
not
for us.
It.
Poor correct. Us.
Yeah. Poor us.
Poor me.
First world problems, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I can't find what I want to watch fast enough.
I don't know
enough.
What to watch. You're such whiny bastards.
My life is so sad.
You know, on the weekends, I will watch...
By the way, this is, you know what this is proving? The Greatest Generation was really the Greatest Generation.
It really, yeah. This is the whiniest
we're really,
generation.
We're the mediocre generation.
highly whiny, highly mediocre.
Oh, speaking of that.
I'm thinking we're not top five.
Speaking of that, you know, have you seen the one show, the new show that's out on also on HBO Max, Hacks, with Gene Smart?
Oh, it just came out.
I just saw the preview for that.
I want to see it.
Promo.
I was.
Yeah.
She is on a roll.
I said the same thing to my wife last night. She is on an amazing late era career roll. She's just
and
amazing.
She's really good. She's really, really good.
It wasn't that long ago that she was the blonde bombshell on that Designing Women. She was the Suzanne Summers of that show. She is just, what was the Watchmen?
Yeah.
She was great in that. Who is this person? Yeah. And on Mare of Easttown, which we'll talk about, and this the one that she's got now, she's the lead actress in, and she's probably pushing 70.
Yeah, I think she's like 69 years old or almost 70 years old.
God bless
her.
She's
really
great.
Good.
She's amazing.
And you know what? It gives us hope that there is, you know, you can have a late career in a lot of stuff.
So something might pan out for me when I'm in
maybe,
my late 60s?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. So, yeah, she's really good in it, and she's great on Mare of Easttown. So I think if you can do an MVP for actress in any series, anywhere, I think Jean Smart should get it. She is kicking ass in a late career.
I wasn't a big fan of hers before, and I'm becoming a really big fan of hers.
She's really good. So this show, she plays like a Las Vegas headliner. You know, let's say like Don Rickles was doing a couple nights a week at the Bellagio. So that's her. And she just basically goes up there and does stand up. She had like a sitcom. She's an actress, but now she's got this thing going on. And who was the guy that played Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore?
Christopher McDonald.
Okay, yeah. So Chris McDonald plays, like he's the hotel owner. He's the casino owner. So I guess he's like the Steve Wynn. And she's on, like, she does, like, two nights. I think she does, like, Friday and Saturday night shows. And he's basically just trying to get younger talent. So he's like, look, you know, look, I'm not sidestepping you. You know, you can still do your shows. And there's a whole rift with them, I guess, because he's trying to get younger people into the casino and all this stuff. And she's still like, look, I'm kicking ass. And then she's also got, like, a whole QVC thing where she's selling whatever, jewelry or clothing.
Right.
And she's loaded. She's absolutely loaded. And so her agent decides to bring in a writer for her. The writer is in California. And she actually like put out a tweet or something. And she got in trouble. She got fired from her show. So this poor girl's like out of work and all that. So she flies out to Las Vegas to meet up with Gene Smart's character. And it's just the whole thing of them trying to figure out what's going on. So it was pretty good. I watched two episodes of it. And it was interesting. She was great.
Can you stream the whole thing or is it just
No, they're releasing it like an episode a week.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, I kind of like that because, like, the whole, it's nice to binge a show, but when you binge a show, I think you lose a lot of detail, you know? So it's nice to have something to look forward to.
I like binging.
Yeah, I think binging is fun.
It is.
It has its moments.
I live 90% of my life not binging. I was waiting for the next episode of MASH every freaking week, and now I don't have to do that, and I like it.
But, yeah, so I would say I like the first two episodes of Hacks. The first episode, you're just trying to kind of figure out what's going on. But the second episode was really good, and everything starts to click. So it was kind of fun. And it's like a half-hour show. I wouldn't say it's like a laugh-out-loud comedy, but I just like their chemistry. I like the acting. It's, you know, it's got its moments. It's, you know, someone reaching their later career, and people trying to force a younger person in and, you know, all that kind of stuff that she's wrestling with. So it's interesting, and she's really good at it.
Well, G-Lo has moved us into our last category here of what we are watching Gene Smart. What we're watching while we're drinking, what we're watching currently. So you started off with the new one from Gene Smart, and I think it's hard not to, we've already touched on it a bit, hard not to talk about something from your world, Mayor of Easttown.
Yep. And you know what's funny? When that first show came out, I thought, I didn't know anything about it. I thought they were saying the Mayor of Easttown.
So did I.
It was, and because it was Kate Winslet, I assumed it was in England.
So did I.
And I'm like, what? It's in Philly or outside of Philly, Delaware County. It's a Delco show? What the hell?
How far is this? Give me some.
Not far. Like the airport.
Within
like
an hour.
Philadelphia airport?
Oh, okay.
It's the airport. It's right outside the airport.
Okay.
Like Chester, all that stuff. It's like 10 minutes from there. So it's like 20 minutes from us?
Yeah.
25 minutes?
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah, 25 minutes.
So it's we should talk about it a little bit. It's HBO Max starring Oscar winner. Has she won an Oscar? Kate Winslet?
I think so. Yeah, I think she has.
A huge name, like kind of in the Amy Adams category of actresses that have gotten shows on HBO. And she has this...
I think she's the new Meryl Streep with all her accent work and all that kind of
stuff. She is wonderful as an actress. I think we can all agree on that. She's a chameleon. She can play anything. She can be funny. She can be tough. She can be gritty. She can be gorgeous. She can be sophisticated. Anything you need her to be, she can be. Period pieces. She's just an amazing actress of our time.
I didn't like her that much when I first saw her. The first thing I ever saw her when was she was in a New Zealand movie, which I think was Pete Jackson's first movie, like Beautiful Creatures maybe. I can't remember the name of the movie.
Oh yeah, they kill somebody, right?
I forget. I just didn't care for the movie. It was a little bit over the top. But then I saw her in Sense and Sensibility, and then I was like, all right, okay, I'm all in. She's great.
Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures.
Right?
Yeah, it was a weird movie. And the other woman, the other actress. She's done some American stuff. She did.
She was on 2 and a Half Men.
Oh, was she?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she was on 2 and a Half Men, and other stuff. And again, just like Kate Winslet, she goes with a full American accent. You wouldn't even think she was from somewhere else.
Right, right, right. Yeah, she was in another show with on HBO, Togetherness. It was one of the Duplass Brothers shows, and she was very good in that. That not Kate Winslet, but the other woman that was in Heavenly Creatures,
Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah, yeah. She was really, really good. So, but anyway, going back to Mayor of Easttown,
and we got Gene Smart and Guy Pearce, and you know, it's a pretty good list of names in this thing, and it feels like an HBO show, right? It feels like this. We've been down this road before with a small town cop, small town crime, and it's got to be solved. But it feels movie like in some ways. I'm not completely enthralled with the whole thing. I've liked a lot of it, and she's spectacular. It could be anybody doing this episode. The star, right? Anyone probably could pick somebody like Reese Witherspoon.
Actually, what's interesting, now that you say that, when I first started watching it, it was actually kind of distracting that it was Kate Winslet.
It was hard to get past the first episode too. I agree with you, because it's a big star doing this cop show. It is a little bit discombobulating.
And it was funny because we're watching it the whole time. I'm watching it with my wife, and the whole time, you know, because they really made a big thing about the accent. Apparently, the Philadelphia accent has been very elusive, and no one's ever tried it. They're like, oh, even with Rocky, you know, he's basically doing a New York accent. He didn't even try to do a South Philadelphia accent, and they just went really, really heavy on it. So every time they said something like hoagie or overdose, and we're just like, we repeat the word every single time. So we're just kind of laughing the whole way. But once you get past it, and once you start getting into the real drama of the show, and I think the murder is just, or maybe it's a murder, maybe it's an abduction. They're a little cagey on all that stuff.
Right.
Well, there is one murder, but the other two, because there's like three things going on. That's kind of like, it's not really the heart of the show, though, right? It's more like the relationships and how this town is all interconnected.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like with My Brilliant Friend. You know, all these people are just, why do they stay?
Sure.
You know? It's so horrible. And everyone's just everyone knows each other so well, but not in a way like, oh, my God, it's my friend. No, just everybody hates each other. it's just crazy. There's so much animosity and so much stuff that's built up over the years. It's just interesting.
I like this conversation about the ongoing conversation about the language and the dialect of the area. I find that, well, maybe that's why I watch a lot of foreign stuff, but I find that very intoxicating when you can watch a show in a specific place and the and it's talking in the right language. Right. Show there aren't very many, but there are have been some shows that have been in Pittsburgh or Western Pennsylvania, which has its own unique dialects. Baltimore, go back to
The Wire.
You know, we're used to New York's New York, right? And everyone has this New York accent. Yep. Of course, there's different parts of New York, and people speak differently within New York too. The dialect and language is almost another character in the show, and it cannot be minimized. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you regionality is important. You know, the Wawa and the kind of food people eat. Yeah, those are every place has their own. Boise has its own thing too, and so does. Yep. So does San Diego, but and you want things to be realistic. And I always get a kick of hearing some production person talking about how when they got the show together, we spent like 3 weeks in San Diego and we learned all about tacos. Well, that's just really great. I'm glad you did that because we don't want the people in New York thinking that people in San Diego don't eat tacos. Okay, we get it, but. When you get to the level of language that people are speaking, that I think is really cool. That really kind of cements a show to me.
Even her name is Mare.
Yes, and right. I actually think in the fourth episode they actually say her whole name.
Yeah, well, Marianne.
Which
is it, Marianne?
Which here your name's like Mary, Marianne, Marie, whatever. Right, right, but right. It gets butchered and it's Mare. And I have friends who call their friends Mare. Oh, I was talking to Mare the other day. And you're like, Mare? Who the hell's Mare?
The guy who grew up across the street from me. His sister's name was Marianne. We always called her Mare.
Mare.
So,
because why would you shorten that to Mare?
Why
what
not?
Is that? That's just...
I just think that's great. And
just the Sam Adams guy doing those commercials.
Yeah.
Your cousin from Boston.
That's right.
Well, you know what? There was one scene in the show in the first episode. Remember when she goes to visit the older woman, the old lady? And, you know, because she's complaining about the guy behind him.
Yeah.
And she's just going on and on and on. It's like, you could have just called the main number. No, I wanted to call you. I'm like, all right, she nailed it right there. This was like, all right, I know about 500 people like this.
Yep.
What you was know, that show, just, Ange, we watched on Prime? The kids in high school. It was a kid's name.
Oh, Wayne?
Wayne. And they're all from Broxton, Massachusetts, or place.
Right,
and
right.
Not in the city. And, the language and the dialect there was just over the top. I'm sure that was very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go to Florida, it's a whole different language. It's a
whole
different world. Like, yeah, right, it's a whole right. Rural Florida is a very different world, right? So big plus on Mayor of Easttown. Another episode coming up this week. We're excited about it.
I mean, I think it's a little uneven at times. I'm not saying like the greatest show ever, but again, the performances are what's saving it. Jean Smart is great. She is just fantastic.
And there are two people in the as supporting players. David Denham, who played Roy in The Office.
Okay.
He's actually building a really, really big resume as a supporting guy.
Yeah.
And Evan Peters, who most people probably know from the Marvel movies, where he's playing Quicksilver. Again, he's another guy who's like, I figured my niche. I'm not going to be the leading guy, but I can get a whole lot of work being this other guy.
Right.
I'm going to be the other guy.
Oh, that's right. Denham is the guy who's playing Mayor's ex-husband.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And Evan Peters is the guy who was Quicksilver and all this, and he was in WandaVision, and now he's in this. And you're like, this guy's showing up everywhere because here's my wheelhouse. I'm going to stay in this wheelhouse. I'm going to get a lot of work.
There's something to be said about being a working actor.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Going back to Grey's Anatomy, I was listening to the Watch Pod, and they were talking about Trainspotting, and they were talking about Kevin McKidd. Kevin McKidd and Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor was in pretty much everything.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you've got Kevin McKidd, who kind of was like, you know, he was in Rome. He took some other parts, but then he latched on to Grey's Anatomy. How many seasons has he been on that?
And he's probably been on 12 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, so you get the steady paycheck. It's like, who's got the better career?
And not just that, but they let you direct.
Yeah.
So he's probably directed 10 episodes, maybe, of the show.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, if I was in something else, no one lets me direct, and that's my next step, because I'm not going to be able to act forever. I hope to go be a director somewhere.
That's funny. Well, it's like funny. I talked to my son, because, you know, he went to the Christian Milioti School of Acting in Cherry Hill. And, you know, or he's going to, I should say. And I'm like, you know what? You could be like the next Buscemi. Just build a solid, you just build a solid career, you know, just be, there's nothing wrong. And he eventually went into a leading role. He had five, six seasons on Boardwalk Empire?
Yep.
Ugh. Don't even talk about that. I'm still scarred by the first episode.
Buscemi's butt. I'm sorry.
Buscemi ass. That's not good.
I love Buscemi. He is so funny.
He is good. He is really, really good.
And he latched on to Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And Sandler used him in everything. Yeah. Not that he latched on, but Sandler probably really liked him and was like, hey, you know what? I could put you in here for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes in a movie.
Well, he got him and he got John Turturro too, didn't he?
I think he's in the jewelry one he was just in. And he was in Mr. Deeds.
A show that I am watching currently, and it just came out on Apple Plus last weekend. And my daughter and I binged the first season. This actually is connected to you guys, too. Mythic Quest on Apple Plus.
Yeah, because and what's his name? Is from Philly.
Rob McElhenney. Is that his name? Rob McElhenney?
He went to St. Joe's Prep?
And he is one of the creators and stars of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was stunned when I saw this because there's been a lot of press about the new season of Mythic Quest. I think I saw that the Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 14 seasons. I watched the first two seasons, and I just never liked the characters. And I couldn't keep watching. I read an article about the new season of Mythic Quest, which I'll talk about in a second, but it's a workplace show. McElhenney has based it primarily on, if I understand correctly, because he's one of the showrunners of and creators of Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's Always Sunny.
It's based on the workplace there, of the inner workings of that show.
I could see that.
Right?
Yeah, I
can
see that.
So it doesn't matter that they're making a TV show. It's an office, right? And everyone has to work together, and there's downtimes. There's all the normal things that happen in a corporate environment. So he's taken this new show, which is based on a video game company. The product is not important. It's how the people that make the video game interact with each other.
Right.
Nobody cares that the office was about office products and paper. It's about the people working with each other. And that's what this is. And I came upon it by chance, and my daughter sat with me and watched the first episode. It gets into some territory that I'm maybe not sure that a 17-year-old should be watching with their dad, but it's so damn funny. The cast is so great. F. Murray Abraham is in the cast. Danny.
And he's loopy on that show.
He is loopy on that show. Danny,
it is bizarre.
Danny Putty Pooty from Community is in this show.
Right.
Charlotte. Ahmed, right. The lead female actress, who I don't know where she's from, Charlotte Nick Dow, she's a Filipino actress. She is just outstanding playing opposite of Rob McElhenney. It is so, so funny. And two things about it. They do the first season, and I think it ended about the time the pandemic started. The very last episode of season one is entirely like a Zoom episode. So they're all locked down at home, and they're having to do everything all on Zoom.
Right.
It is so funny, and within the concept of what we've all lived through for, you know, a year plus. And then they did a bonus episode to get you ready for season two, which is coming out of lockdown. And how is that all going to work? It's a really good show. I highly recommend it. It's very, very funny. And it really touches on a lot of things that most people deal with in their regular day.
And yeah, I started it. I've got to go back to it.
You got to be careful with kids. Gets into some wacky language and things, but it's really good. Very, very, very.
And getting back to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I just Googled it, and it's the longest running live action comedy series in television history.
Holy crap.
And I don't know that I've seen a whole episode. And Angela, you said you've never watched it at all.
No.
I vaguely remember it.
No.
I remember that I wanted to watch it because it was about a bar. Beyond that, I can't tell you much more. And Danny DeVito comes in as a character at some point. Is he still on?
In 2020, it got picked up for 4 more seasons to give it 18.
God.
It'll be on for 18 seasons by the time it's over. And one of the guys from that with McElhenney, Charlie Day, is one of the creators of the other show you're just talking about.
Yeah, Charlie Day is the...
So the two of them moved over with one of the, I guess, the head writers or something, and they made this new show.
And is it...
Mythic Quest.
Isn't McElhenney married to the lead actress?
I think so.
It's Sunny?
On It's Sunny,
yeah. That's his wife. Sunny. Right. Yeah. She's a writer, too.
Who was it? Caitlin Olson? No.
Yeah, Caitlin Olson.
Oh, that's right. Caitlin Olson. Yep.
Okay.
I actually heard an interview with him talking about being on lockdown, and he's got younger kids himself, and introducing his kids to shows that he watched. This is a strange story. The show that got him excited about television, you would never guess what it is. And I'm not even going to ask you. It's the Golden Girls.
Oh, and yeah. I heard him on the interview with...
So many people love that.
Where was that? Oh, it was on the Watch.
Right, it was on the Chris Ryan interview.
With Chris Ryan, yeah.
And he watched it with his kids, right?
He watched it with his kids,
and
but
I
he
think
said...
Like, isn't, like, Betty White, like, one of his neighbors or something?
Betty White is one of his neighbors, and she's, like, a goddess to him. But he...
And Angelo, he's such a Blanche. He really is. He's such a Blanche.
Me? Absolutely.
Yeah,
he's
such a Blanche.
Was
amazed I wish I was a Blanche.
That these four characters had this, like, chemistry together. They all had their little niche on the show, and they kept on it all the time. They were on it for however long the show was on.
Yeah.
And that was just a driving force for him to be in television. And then he turned his kids onto it. They binged that. And then the kids turned him on to Adventure Time. And so they were going back and forth on shows with him and his kids during the lockdown. So he learned a lot about his kids. He learned about himself as well. You guys watching anything else currently that you want to mention?
My God, man, we're at 2 hours.
I know, I got a couple. I want to catch up.
All right. There are a couple of things I want to watch.
Oh, we're not there yet.
Okay.
So I got one that I think you guys should jump on because it's really bizarre and funny. It's called Frank of Ireland. It is on Amazon.
I think I saw this. Okay.
And
turned it on, I think, at one point.
The lead actor's name is Brian Gleeson. He looks so familiar. I don't know where he's from. He plays this 30-something guy.
Oh, you know who that is,
no,
right?
No, who is he?
Brian Gleeson. His dad's Brendan Gleeson.
Wait, does he have two kids that are acting? Because he has the other one, too.
He's got a whole bunch of kids that are acting. His brother is the one that's Domhnall Gleeson's from Star Wars and Harry Potter.
Oh, right.
And all that other stuff.
Okay.
The father's Brendan Gleeson.
Right.
Yeah.
I like
so
Brendan Gleeson.
He plays a 30-something pain in the ass who has gotten nowhere in life and lives with his mom. And his mom is a lush, and she sleeps around, and she wants him kicked out of the house, but he kind of won't leave. And his best friend, and you're going to like this, his best friend is Domhnall Gleeson. I guess that maybe it's his brother.
It's his brother.
Right? Oh,
his brother.
Okay.
Yeah. Who, his name is Doofus in the show. And he's the star of that, HBO.
Run?
Run.
Which was not very good.
It's a lesser character in this show, but he's so good in it. It's crazy about this, you know, like I said, 30-something who just cannot get a regular job. He thinks he's a singer-songwriter, and he's not. And he screws up every episode by his idiocy. It's weirdly funny, and it's Irish. Need I say more? It's in Ireland. Okay. Need I say more? Okay. It's fun. So it's half hour, little sitcom. I'm also another one that I'm watching is Mosquito Coast on Apple Plus.
Oh, I was going to say that's on my to watch.
Yep, I just got
because I saw that I didn't know what it was about, and I saw the trailer, and it looks really good.
It is, and I could not tell you the names of these character, these actors and actresses in there. It's about a family who are living in Fresno, let's say Fresno. And they are, you don't know this in the beginning, but they are basically living a life away from some secret, like a witness protection program. They can't contact their family outside of the four of them, the husband and the wife. And somehow, whoever is after them, which is, turns out to be the government, and it's, they're after the dad, so they're on the run. They have to get on the run. They have to get out of town.
Oh, the actor's Justin Theroux.
Yeah, why do I know that guy? Where's he from?
Was in the Leftovers. He was the cop in The Leftovers. And he was also married to Jennifer Aniston, wasn't he?
Or, Jennifer Aniston, yeah.
Married or dating or whatever.
Married, yeah.
And I believe it's a based on a novel.
Right.
They ultimately, I think, get out of the U.S.
Is it related to the movie, the one with Harrison Ford? Is it the same story or is it different?
I don't know that. It's one of those big, it's one of those big Apple things that they poured money into for content for Apple Plus. So I've seen the first two, three episodes, I think, and they come out on Fridays. I'm sucked in. And the last one that I started watching, because I have to end on a Scandinavian note.
How do you find that time?
I'm watching Border, because I, well, forget. I'm watching Border Town. And that's how I was made earlier. Border Town, Hinter Town, Frozen Town, Snow Town. Uh-huh. And it's a crime drama. The lead character is a blonde actress who has lost her husband. She's taking care of her two kids. And now she's on this murder mystery, trying to solve a crime, and it's all in Helsinki, and it's always snowing, and bad guys with wind farms and murders.
Wind farms?
Yeah, some technology guy who's got some great idea for a wind farm, but there's a murder and bodies are popping up, and she's gonna solve it, and she's got problems because her husband was killed or something. I don't know, but I'm sucked in, and I think there's like four seasons of it on Netflix. So, and it's in a foreign language. And there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Good luck.
Good luck. There you go.
Yeah, no, Mosquito Coast, and I'm curious to try the Underground Railroad, and also going to finish up For All Mankind and Hacks, and I forget what. Oh, and of course we can't forget Mare of Easttown.
And by the way, I finished while we were yapping away here. I finished the Glen Scotia 2017 a single cask at 57.8.
And you also binged the first and second season of For All Mankind.
I'm going to
just now.
While we talked, you watched.
You know, you have to be efficient with your time. I try to.
It's that microchip technology. That's what it is.
In front of the screen, he's got 11 screens. He's watching every streaming Scandinavian show right now as well.
So he's like a bond trader on in Wall Street.
Absolutely.
Except he's just watching TV as opposed to, watching stocks.
Instead of making money, yes.
So I watch in the mornings on my bike. I'm watching Border Town right now. Every morning I watch one episode. And then when I come home and I'm making dinner, I'll have an iPad on the island and I'll be watching a show. And then actually I've slowed down because I've got other projects I'm doing and I don't have as much time. But so that's it. I'm watching.
He's got a production deal with HBO Max and he's not telling us about it. That's the deal.
I think so.
No, interesting about Border Town. I had my second shot a week ago.
Whiskey?
No, vaccination.
Ah, vaccination.
And night two and three were not good nights.
Fever dreams?
I was not, I was up a lot. So I decided to start watching something, and I was on the roller coaster of finding something on Netflix, watching what my friends are watching, my similar friends in the world are watching in my feed, because we now know how that works. And Border Town came out. I should be watching Border Town, because all of my friends are watching Border Town, apparently. It was a number five on my hot trending list. So I started watching.
Your decision fatigue ended.
It has ended until I'm done with Border Town. So anything that we want to watch, I guess we had a couple there that we threw out that we want to answer it a couple you want to watch.
Like I said, just Mosquito Coast, I'm curious about, and Underground Railroad, and I just continue with what else is going on. And then whatever pops up. You know, these things are popping up all the time. Yeah. So, Mike, how about you?
I think I'm going to rewatch The Nick, because now the new season's coming out. So I think I want to watch that to catch up.
Yeah, it was good. It was,
refresh.
It was very good.
Yeah, I think I'll watch Hacks, too.
Yeah, Hacks is for definitely
I think you'll like it. It was good. Again, the first episode was a little, you know, you just gotta get it, it's got to get its footing.
Set up.
And you have,
yeah, you got to yeah, set the story.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Backstory.
After that, it was, yeah, second episode was good, though. It was yeah, really, really funny.
Well, gentlemen, this was great to get together, as usual, for the chat and the drink.
My God, did we catch up? How long
was we that? Did. Hey, you know, this is what we do. We watch
episode 14.
We talk about what we watch when we drink. 14 of these in the can. Literally in the can.
In the can.
This one might go in the can.
Literally should go in the can. And we'll lit on fire and knocked over in the middle of the night by some kids.
All right. Play us off.
So, great episode, guys. Good whiskey, good shows, good stuff we're going to watch eventually. Listeners, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Audible, Spotify, and anywhere else you can get your podcasts. And, of course, you could always find us on boozedancing.com. And, again, questions, comments, you know, hate mail, love letters, all that kind of stuff, marriage proposals.
We only want them in Norwegian. Well, maybe Danish. Oh, English is okay, sure. Maybe some Eastern PA dialect.
Hoagies. Send the hoagies.
I want to say hoagies.
Email us Wawa gift cards to boozedancing@gmail.com. We like our coffee. We like our hoagies. We like our pretzels. We're here for you. All right, gents.
Cheers, boys.